by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for love and for grace and for mercy upon our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are with us every step. And Lord, that we always have your guidance if we will just listen, if we will just ask, and if we will just be obedient. And Father, I pray even in this time that you'll open our eyes and our ears so that we might see and hear and open our hearts so that we will receive the truths that you have for us. Lord, strengthen us as your people. Help us as we bring glory to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated, please. Walking in the way. I'm not talking about walking in the way as if you're blocking someone. I'm talking about in the way in which you are supposed to go, in the right direction, following the right guidelines in your life, being who God wants you to be and living the life God wants you to live. And we could stop right here and take testimony from every one of us on failures we've had in life, because it's hard to be that person 24/7. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to give a testimony. You're here. You know that you are someone who needed salvation from sin, and you found it in Christ. And you know since that day you have struggled in life with things that you wanted to do versus things you needed to do, things you wanted to say versus things you already said. Life's just complicated at times. And we always try, but sometimes we make a mess, don't we? Walking in the way is hard. But Paul is talking to the Romans, and God is speaking through Paul, not just to them, but to us today. And he says to them, I beseech you, brethren. He's saying, I exhort you. I am calling to you. I am pleading with you. There is a platform that we need to be walking on. We're among the crowd, but we need to be elevated above the crowd in our wants and in our desires. We're not following the crowd in the world, but we're trying to show the world there is something higher than this plane that we are living in, and that we are looking to please something more than just ourselves. So while we're on this platform, it is only as an example. It's not because we're lauding ourselves over someone. Too many times I hear Christians use that phrase, well, I'm forgiven. And it's almost like we're hitting somebody in the head with a bat because they won't listen to us and talk to us about God and His will in life. They're living in sin. They've made no profession of faith. And they say, I know who you were before you became saved. Yeah, well, I'm forgiven. Yeah. It becomes argumentative, and it's not the right way to present the gospel. So when we're on this platform, we need to be on this platform in love and in grace and in mercy for our neighbors. To love as God has loved us, we should love everyone around us. Walking in the way, it's hard, isn't it? And Paul is pleading, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, by the mercies of God. Paul would tell the Ephesians, he would say it this way, I who am a prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. See, when we step out of the old man into the new man, there's a change that needs to happen. When we step out of the older woman into the newer woman, there's a change that needs to happen. Our lives need to reflect that change. Our life needs to reflect love for God and love for our neighbor. Our life needs to reflect a lot of things differently than what it did before we came to salvation in Christ. How many of us understand that we can't be the same person we were? We've got to change. We've got to struggle to get past who we were and to be who we are supposed to be. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to walk according to the calling with which you are called. And a lot of times we get confused. I don't want anyone here to think that you're called to be a preacher or you're called to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everyone is called to those things. Those are positions that people will fill after they come into the calling of Christ, into salvation and the forgiveness of sins. But all of us are called to give testimony of our life and the changes that Christ has brought. So all of us are examples, and all of us should live as the example. And we need to present that to the world every day. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. By the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. This is the first thing we need to keep in mind when we ask ourselves, well, how do I walk in the way? How do I walk worthy of the calling with which I am called? We remember first the mercies of God. Remember the mercies that I and that you, that all of us who have found peace with the Father through the Son, mercies that all of us celebrate. How many of you celebrate your life in Christ today? Amen. How many of you celebrate Christ in His life today? Amen. Because you know the mercies of His love and His grace. You know what it means to transform from the old person to the new person. You know what God is calling us to do and how to live. You know what Paul is saying when he's crying out to the Romans, I beseech you, brethren, walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Remember the mercies of God. This is where you should start. And let me point out what those mercies bring into our life. Peter says it like this. He says, he's talking about the Father and His love who has saved us. According to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? I would be happy just to be at peace with God, knowing that He's there with me, and that if I run into trouble, I can call out for help, and that He's going to be with me in to get into heaven. But boy, Paul really, he brings it out for us to see. It is a living hope. I know I am facing my mortality in this life. How many of you have grasped that already? I'm facing my mortality, but I'm not dying. I'm living. I'm living greater than I'm living now. When I step into eternity, it's a greater life. It's not, I didn't die and go away. I'm stepping into the fullness of my living hope that I have right now. This mercy that I have upon me has given me a living hope in every step that I take before the world to see. And I need to celebrate. I need to celebrate that. I beseech you, brethren, celebrate your living hope in Christ. Too many of us, though, we walk around. Oh me, oh my. Oh me, oh my. How are you doing today? Well, I've been better. It could be better today. I know how that feels. Someone asked me earlier, asked me how my week was going. Well, it's been a pretty good week. I try to tell people this. It's the same with a day. Every day is a good day. Some days might be better than others, but every day is a good day. Same with weeks. Same with months. Same with years. I can remember some not so good years. How about you? I can remember a lot of not so good things. But when I start remembering the mercies that I have in Christ, I remember I have a living hope. And I have no reason to let my chin drag the ground. Turn that frown upside down. Smile. Because I have a living hope. And not only do I have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have a living hope that's going to transport me from this mortality into my immortality, into an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It's incorruptible and undefiled. And when I step into that eternity, it's not going to change. It's settled in Christ. It's not even going to fade away. What it is, it will always be. Now that's a living hope. Those that have found it in Christ, we need to celebrate. But I want to tell you, if you haven't found living hope in Christ yet, that eternity, it's not going to fade away, the pain and the suffering, having rejected Christ either. I want you to celebrate your living hope, but I want you to know there are a lot of folks around us that have not found that living hope yet. And their eternity, they're going to want it to fade away, but it's going to be as eternal for them as it is for us. Jesus said, their worm will never die. The fire will never be quenched. And Paul is saying, we need to walk according to the mercies of God. We need to walk in the way that we learn from Christ. We need to be on this platform as the example so that the world can see there is a love that changes us and makes us whole and gives us a joy that the world can't understand. They're looking for happiness all around them, but they're looking down. They've got to learn to look up. And then they can find it through the examples that we're showing them, that we're living before them, that we're living for them. Loving our neighbor as Christ loved us. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Start by remembering those mercies of God and that living hope that we have in Christ. And be a living sacrifice, he says. Be holy and acceptable to God. A living sacrifice. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. There's a difference between the old man and the new man. Between the old person and the new person. There is a difference in what we think and what we do and how we present ourselves before God even. Don't even worry about what everybody else is seeing. Ask yourself this. What is my God seeing? What is my Savior seeing? How am I honoring Him when it's just the two of us? Because it makes a difference. You know, Jesus had a word about those Pharisees. He said they were whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. You can look good on the outside, but if you're dead on the inside, you're dead on the inside. And you're dead in the presence of Christ. We have to be changed. We have to walk worthy. We have to be better. All of us, we have to be better, don't we? We have to learn to be better. When we fail, we learn that we can ask God for forgiveness and restoration, and God will come and help us. and restore us, and we can have the joy and the hope restored. So many people don't even know they have that available. They don't even know what living hope is. How are they ever going to get out of presenting themselves to the world to do whatever, however, whenever, to please self more than anyone? See, that's one of the biggest changes we have to face. It's putting self second. Putting ourselves second. How many of us like to be first? We teach our kids that. We got to win. We got to be first. God says we need to be second in the things that matter. Caring for people. Helping others. Loving others. Being there when they need us. It's hard though, isn't it? But this is the walk that we're called to walk. This is the way that we're called to walk in. That we remember the mercies of God and we make ourselves a living sacrifice before the world. That we are consecrated before the world. You know what this means. It means that we are set apart. That we're taken from the many and set over here with the few, even. Or the one in some situations. You have a bunch of friends and all of them are still chasing after the world, and God comes into your life and changes you. You become the one. And they have to see you. They have to see Christ in you. And you set yourself apart so that they can see that God is alive and living in you and giving you this living hope and an inheritance that you're striving to show the world it's worth giving up this side, the mortality side, to have what He's giving on the other side, in that immortal state where we will be forever and ever after this blink of an eye is over. How many of you know this is just a blink of an eye? And it's going faster and faster every day. Do y'all realize it's May already? 2025? I don't want to make y'all feel old or nothing, but you've seen the commentaries on the social websites. When somebody tells me, you remember 30 years ago, I immediately think back to the 70s and the 80s. Y'all know that was more than 30 years ago. See, it's our thinking. We've got to get it all straightened out. We've got to get it in perspective. We've got to see who we are in Christ and who we should be before the world because of who we are in Christ. We've got to learn how to walk and be what God wants us to be. This is a blink of an eye. We only have a short amount of time. A short amount of time. And it's gone. And it's gone. Set yourself apart. You know what, though? We find it hard sometimes to be a living sacrifice, don't we? I've said it. You've heard other pastors and preachers say it, I'm sure. But being a living sacrifice, you know, when you're on that altar, sometimes it's easy to just get up and walk away, isn't it? I mean, you're not strapped down. The only thing that God has strapped us to the altar with is His love. And He's counting on us to not fight against those bonds of love and to be what He needs us to be. When the altar gets hard to bear, when it gets hot, hang on, because He's with you. And be the living sacrifice. If you've started the process, go all the way through and let God have His way and His will so His glory can be shown. Getting up early and walking away, how do we honor God in that? How do we bring glory to God in that? Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And remember, it is our reasonable service to do this. You see what Paul says here? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You ever been in a workplace when people started arguing about what their job was and was not? That's not my job. That's not my job. Have you ever heard that statement? Have you ever said that? Sometimes we as Christians, that's what we're saying to God. God, that's not my job. Wait a minute. It is our reasonable service. And when reasonable service, when that term is used, it means anything that God can use to bring glory to Him. Anything. Pain, suffering, sacrifice, it doesn't matter. It is our reasonable service to face it in faith and trust of God. Can't you imagine Meshach and his compadres going into the fire? That's not my job! It's not my job. It's not my job. That's not, I didn't sign on for this. You're going to have to pay me extra, Lord. You're going to have to pay me extra. Whoa. What are we asking God to do for us specifically? Are we more special than the next person beside us? Do we deserve better than the next person beside us? Doesn't God deserve better than to have to give His Son to free us from sin? But since He did, doesn't He deserve better from us who have come to faith that we show it and walk according to His will, which is our reasonable service? God's not asking us for too much, is He? Not really. No. He's asking us to walk with Him. Not to walk alone like this, but to walk with Him like this. We're never alone in all of this. We never have to depend on our own strength in anything. We never have to depend on our own decisions. Which way to go, how we should do this or that, what we should say. God is with us. If you don't know what to say, be quiet until He tells you what to say. Let the Spirit guide you. Let the Spirit speak. He says He'll do this for us. Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Walk worthy. It is our reasonable service. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness every morning. New are His mercies and His strengthening and the feeling of the joy that we have in that living hope. Why do we let the world bring us down at times so that we forget who we are and how we should live and walk before those around us? It's something all of us have to work on. It's all of us being called to work worthy, to walk worthy of our calling. Set ourselves apart and be what God wants us to be. Consecrate ourselves to His will and to His way, to His words, to the life He wants us to live. Be what He needs you to be every day. I told you to walk in the way. You can start by remembering the mercies, but before you can ever begin to get yourself consecrated, you've got to set yourself apart first in faith. And you've got to call on Christ for forgiveness of sins, knowing that there's a penalty for unrepentance. I don't know if all of you here have walked a path of repentance, have stood before the Lord, have knelt before the Lord, and said, God, forgive me. Help me. Change me. Give me this living hope. Renew me. If you haven't found that peace, why not now? Right now. Why can't you set yourself apart right now and begin the walk that God is calling? Find that peace and that hope in Jesus. Know that He'll be with you, and so will we. If you don't know Christ today, will you come now while the altar is open? God loves you, and God is calling first to repentance and then to walk. But will you come and find peace right now? Father, I thank You for the time that You have given to us. I thank You that You have filled us with so great a hope, a living hope, with joy and wonder of what we will see when we're with You, what we will experience in Your presence. But Father, before that day, we have this day. And You have shown us good through Your mercies and Your grace. And Your joy is overflowing even in these times. So we know and we trust and we live in faith that You are with us and always will be. Lord, I pray if there is one that does not know You today, Lord, that they will come and find peace through the forgiveness of sins in You. I pray, Father, strengthen them to begin their journey right now. And I lift this to You with thanks and with praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?